Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Now, Elizabeth, I told you about a time in my life when it really felt dark. It felt like God had left me. And it was really not anything that I had done. It was a series of tragic events outside of my life that affected my life greatly, but it left me in a huge state of depression. And I felt that I wouldn't be able to preach. I wouldn't be able to do anything because of the terrible depression and the awful things that had happened to me in my life.
You know, there was somebody that was feeling like that in Matthew.
That's right. In fact, his name would be Joseph, would it?
That's right. You know, Joseph did not understand what was going on.
Yeah.
You know,
and he didn't do anything to deserve this either.
That's right.
You know, from our perspective, I guess we're all sinners, but still, Joseph, when you look at his life, he seemed to be an upright man.
That's right. And he had plans, you know,
like
we discussed before in our previous broadcast. I mean, he had plans. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to marry this girl,
Mary. That's right.
They're engaged. We already had the big engagement
betrothed,
party.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's take it from verse 18. So we're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read it?
It says, "Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit."
Can you imagine this news for Joseph?
Well, I'm sorry, but you know, Joseph has got to be a little bit of a man of the world. And his bride-to-be says, "I'm pregnant, but I've not been with anyone." I'm buying that,
it's like,
sure.
Excuse me? That's right.
I'm sorry, but you know, I know a little bit about the world. In order for you to be pregnant, something's had to happen.
And that's why Joseph was, being a righteous man, said, you know, "I'm not going to disgrace her publicly," which he could have done
because that was the
custom of the time.
That's right.
You know, he could have brought her in front of everybody.
That's right. And really what they had was a betrothal. There was an engagement, which was a marriage contract that was usually entered into by family saying, "All right, I think our two kids will be good for each other."
That's right.
The betrothal, which lasted for a year, and it was basically they were thought to be married, but they weren't living together as husband
and
wife.
That's right. Everything else was there except that they were not sexually active,
with
each other.
They had not moved in together, were not sexually active.
That's right. And you know, he's considering this divorce because that was the only way you could break this engagement.
That's right. In fact, they had to actually go through a divorce, whatever that meant at that day, but basically that in order to end the betrothal, right?
That's right. So verse 20 says that he was considering this divorce, but an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, because God does communicate
with us
at all times, even when we are down and depressed, especially actually.
That's right.
And he said, "Joseph, son of David," and by the way, this is the only time in the Gospel of Matthew that somebody else other than Jesus is
called Son of David. That's right.
Because it's trying to still establish the lineage that
That's
we
right.
were talking
that
about.
Jesus is the Son of David. The one who fulfills the promise of the king that will reign forever.
That's right. So it says, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid and go ahead and take Mary as your wife." And then something beautiful said here.
"Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit."
Yeah, this is really something miraculous. "She will bear a son," verse 21.
That's right.
"And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
That's right.
And then we get this prophecy with this prophetic formula that we talked about the first time. You want to read it?
Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." And again, that's a phrase that we're going to hear over and over again in Matthew, is it not?
That's right.
"So the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
You know, it's really interesting because this happened in a very difficult and depressing time for the king Ahaz. So if you guys want to go with us to Isaiah 7, this is where the prophecy is taken from. So Isaiah chapter 7, there is a bad situation for Ahaz, the king Ahaz. He has two kings that are coming against him. You know, the king of Aram and the king of Israel. And he is very depressed.
And by the way, the king of Israel, this is when the nation of Israel had been divided. We got the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. And Aram is joined up with the northern kingdom to come against the southern kingdom, of which
what a terrible situation.
Ahaz is the king.
Yes, and look how depressed and how fearful he was. Let's read it on verse 2 because it gives us these details. Go ahead.
"Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied himself with Ephraim, So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind.
See,
that's very descriptive.
Have you ever felt like that, that you're shaking as the trees?
Yeah.
You know, like a wind, I'm just shaking. My heart is shaking.
You know, the old saying, he's trembling like a leaf is similar to this,
that's
right?
That's exactly it.
So that's it. But since it's a whole nation, it's a whole forest that is shaking, not just a leaf,
right? And at that moment, God says, I'm going to send through the prophet Isaiah, you know, a promise to him,
that's
something
right.
to say, look, you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get any other allies because I'm with you. And look where Isaiah finds Ahaz in verse 3. It says that he went up and the king was actually at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. See, the problem in Jerusalem is that there's no water.
That's right.
So when they think there is a big war coming and they might be in siege for a long time,
they got to make sure the cisterns are full so that they got water for the city.
That's right. So you're finding the king exactly there, with a little bit of anxiety, a lot of depression and sadness, saying, what are we going to do? Do we at least have enough water?
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
At that moment, the prophet finds him, and we can find the prophecy starting in verse 10, when the Lord has spoken to Ahaz and says, look, I'm going to give you a sign. Ask for any sign that you want, as high as you want, as deep as you want, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask. I will not put the Lord to the test.
Yeah, it sounds pious, but it's really not. What he's saying is thank you, but not thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, but you know, this is not happening.
Yes, and God says, look, I'm still going to give you a sign anyways, and this is where we get the prophecy in verse 14.
Verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
Okay, this is the very prophecy that Matthew is quoting when the angel is talking to Joseph. And see, this child, Emmanuel, was, we don't know exactly who this child was.
Some
people say it was eventually the king's child.
That's
some
right.
people say it was a child that the king could see regularly. The point is what the name of the child means.
That's right. And we also find another interesting thing here, that very often the prophecies will have a double application, an immediate application and then a long-term application.
Not only most often, usually we will have multiple applications. Sometimes we have cycles of prophecy,
right.
and it's very important to understand that.
That's right.
And here we have this child that every time the king sees him, he will be reminded that God offered his help.
That's
he
right.
said, you don't have to be afraid that these two kings are coming against
That's
you.
Right.
Don't be afraid that you lost your job. Don't be afraid that your wife is leaving you. Don't be afraid of this terrible crisis in life because I am with you. I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
You know, it strikes me that God did this quite often. Very often there would be a child whose name would speak a promise to the parents and to the people who would come in contact with this child. I think of Hagar, who ran away from Sarah, her mistress, who had been mistreating her, and the angel found her and said, you're going to have a child, and you call his name Ishmael, and Ishmael means God hears. So every time she called the child, she reminded herself,
that's right,
God had heard her when she was crying.
That's exactly. See, this is the point, is that God is telling Ahaz and all of us with him that he is with us, but not only that he's with us in a particular situation, but specifically in this plan of salvation that where Matthew is saying, look, when Jesus came, God was with us more than he's ever been
before.
You know, he came, became one of us, and God is with us.
God interjected himself into human history when we needed him the most. With the fall came Jesus. When it looked like all of humanity was going to be lost, God with us in the person of Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to the Father so that we are saved from certain death, from certain eternal damnation away from the Father, right? And so, again, his promise, his plan comes through every time. Whenever we are at our darkest, that's when God really inserts himself.
See, if you look at the cross, you can see Emmanuel
that's
almost spelled out at the cross.
That's
this is
right.
God with us. And you know, Matthew has such emphasis on the fact that God is with us that he forms what we call in academia an inclusio, is like a sandwich.
Okay.
Something starts and ends in the same way. And
That's
the Matthean sandwich is this. At the beginning, he gives a name, God is with us.
That's
because this, Matthew is the only one, by the way, that talks about Emmanuel in this way. But Jesus ends the gospel
by saying, I am with you always.
Yes.
Even unto the ends of the earth, right?
Yes.
So he starts and ends with this idea, God with us. God is always with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it may be, He is with you.
See, this is the only promise that is repeated in one way or another in every single book of the Bible.
All 66.
Don't be afraid, I am with you. The presence of God is the greatest promise that we have throughout the Bible because we never feel we're on our own.
That's a wonderful thought right there, because I know that there are times that as a child when I was frightened until I found out that one of my parents was with me. Mom was with me, Dad was with me. All right, I'm okay now. I'm okay.
That's
and then raising daughters, I've raised two daughters. There were times when I could see that they were fearful, and I would come up behind them, put my hand on them, and say, sorry, sweetheart, I'm here.
That was enough. You know,
it
and
changed
I,
immediately.
For me, it's important the context of this prophecy in the original time when it was given, because you know, Ahaz is so afraid of what he's facing.
Right, the kings are coming. I'm going to die.
Yes, and it says also to me that God is for me. He's not against me. He's for me. You know, many times people think, oh, God is against me. No, God is for you and He's with you.
And Elizabeth, this is what helped me through my time of sorrow and depression. Someone helped remind me of the fact that God is with us. God was with me, not just us, but me personally.
Yeah, and to our listeners, if you're going through a situation in which you are wondering, are you alone in this? Be encouraged by these words, Emmanuel, God with us.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.